In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is brought to you by Pelican Brewing, independently brewing on the Oregon coast since 1996. Crack open a can of Beat Breaker Double IPA and take a bold, hoppy break. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
All right, Daily Ticker time here on a Feel Good Friday, brought to you, as always, by our wonderful friends at Pelican Brewing Company. The return of warmer weather. Boy, oh boy, did we feel it yesterday. It was a great day for them to bring back their summer seasonal beer, Pelicano, available in clear glass bottles. It's refreshment that you can see.
They got something nice coming too soon in the next week or two.
It's great hearing the future plans for Pelican.
Teaser.
Things to be excited about, man. They'll be out at the golf tournament. Pumped. It's going to be a great summer. We've talked a lot of NFL draft today. Did you know the NBA playoffs are still going on?
Yes, they are.
And they had games last night, and they have games again tonight.
The Clippers whooping that nugget.
Whoa, what
ass.
The hell happened there? Joining us now is our good friend from The Ringer, co-host of The Real Ones podcast, Howard Beck. You can go follow him on Blue Sky, covering the NBA for a long time. What up, Beck? How we doing today?
What up, guys? Good morning. Appreciate the kind intro. Thank you for the Blue Sky shout out as well.
You got it. I mean, I'll ask this kind of, I'm going to go 30,000 foot view, and then we'll kind of hone into some specifics. We're about a week into the NBA playoffs, maybe give or take. Biggest surprise to you so far?
Ooh, biggest surprise. I don't know that there's anything that is particularly surprising yet. I guess I was a little shocked at how badly the Grizzlies got blown out in game one of that series against the Thunder. And then I was surprised last night while watching one of the other games to look up and see that those same Grizzlies were up by like 29 points at some point until Ja went down. I thought that team was kind of ready to fold as the season was winding down anyway. So I guess I'm not entirely shocked, but still, like, you know, when they were down by like, you know, 55 or whatever in game one, that was pretty surprising. But like the competitiveness of a lot of these series is exactly what, A, we hope for, and B, pretty much what I expected. Like, I thought the Pistons were going to give the Knicks some problems, and they have. I thought Warriors Rockets could be pretty intense, and it has been. You know, I like what we've seen so far, and you know, you don't expect a lot out of the 1-8 and 2-7 series. The Warriors Rockets, like, the Warriors aren't your average seven, but the other, you know, the other 2-7 and the 2-1-8s, like, those are what you kind of expect, that they're going to be lopsided, because that's just the NBA.
Are we going to see major fallout in Memphis and Milwaukee if they end up? We think Memphis is over now. It's 3-0. But are we going to see major roster fallout from both teams if they're both out?
It is the question. I think one of the, you know, fascinating things about the NBA is that, you know, every I don't know if this applies to the other sports. You guys tell me. I've tuned the other sports that long ago. I don't feel like other sports have as much of a consequence factor hanging over, like this constant fear where if you lose too soon in the playoffs, that may be it for your team. That may be it for this group. That may be it for your superstar who's going to decide I want out now. It ups the stakes, frankly, and I think that's, you know, a good thing. You know, it keeps franchises on their toes, and it helps generate some of the fan interest and talk shows like yours and podcasts like the ones I'm on. But I do think that you know, it's real. In the case of, let's say, the Bucks first, we've seen a bunch of these inflection points with Giannis prior to this, where it looked like, things are trending the wrong direction. Oh, they got Jrue Holiday. Oh, they won a championship. Oh, now things are trending the wrong direction. Oh, they went out and they got Dame Lillard. He signs another extension. But, you know, this is the NBA. Nothing is forever. And it would not shock anyone, I don't think, as loyal as Giannis has been, if he, like Dame Lillard, his teammate, will finally reach a point where he says, you know what, I tried. I stuck it out as long as I could. It's not working. Yeah. That's how Lillard ends up in Milwaukee, and that's how Giannis could end up somewhere else this summer. And given that Milwaukee doesn't have a lot of other avenues to improve their roster, I just don't see what other choices they really have. That said, you don't trade him unless he says he wants to be traded. In the case of the Grizzlies, look, there's been speculation around the league for months that, you know, maybe they would move off of Ja. Zach Kleiman, the Grizzlies GM, made a very emphatic statement after some of those rumors circulated earlier this season that he had no interest in trading him. But, you know, they're about to flame out in the first round. They fired their coach before the regular season even ended. I'm not going to be surprised if the Grizzlies make a move this summer.
Interesting. We're talking with Howard Beck, covers the NBA, has for a long time for The Ringer, co-host of the Real Ones podcast. You can go follow him on his Blue Sky, howardbeck.bluesky.social. I look at Denver, man, and I'm fascinated by them. I'm a believer that Jokic is the best player on the planet. I know a very hot take, but he amazes me every time I see him. Not even in the MVP conversation, just all that he can do on the floor. They fire their coach. They fire their general manager, a week and a half, 2 weeks before the playoffs start. They just won a title 2 years ago, and now here they are. They win game one. You're like, all right, maybe Denver's going to save face a little bit. You lose game two in a heartbreaking fashion, and then you just get blown out of the floor, blown out of the gym in game three. What do you make of Denver and where they're going in that series and just what that bigger picture means for a guy who just won a title and was at the top of the sport 2 years ago?
Yeah. People got really carried away when they won that first championship saying, oh, is this going to be the next dynasty? It's like, guys, they've won one. Can we wait until they've won two before we start talking about potential dynasties? The thing is about that team, from the moment they won the championship, they won that championship based on this kind of perfectly calibrated group around Jokic, right? Gordon and Porter and Jamal Murray, KCP. Like, they just had this really good, tight-knit group that read each other well, that functioned. It was just like the synergy was off the charts, right? But this wasn't a super team. It was like one, generational star with Jokic, and then a borderline star in Jamal Murray, who's never actually made an all-star team, mostly because he gets hurt. But we know he's an all-star caliber player. But it's just the margin for error was always kind of thin. And then, they lost, Bruce Brown and Jeff Green the first summer after the championship. Then they lost, KCP. And it's just not the same. The depth isn't there. The guys that Calvin Booth drafted that he was so insistent that Michael Malone play and saying, like, these are our new rotation guys. Well, they just either haven't been ready, haven't developed quickly enough, or maybe just aren't good enough. Mm. And the depth isn't there. The Westbrook thing has kind of, been all over the map. It's, as always, it's a roller coaster with Westbrook. And they could be down 0-3, guys. Like, they won that first game in overtime, and the Clippers had their chances. This could very easily be 3-0 in the Clippers' favor. I picked the Clippers in this series, and I think they're going to win it. And I think, yes, we're going to add the Denver to the list of the teams you just mentioned previously about what happens this summer, how dramatic could it get. I don't think you're trading Jokic, obviously, again, unless he demanded out, and he doesn't seem wired that way. But they've got some serious moves to make to try to get this team back to contention.
Beck, which series would you say you feel more confident in being able to predict right now? Golden State, Houston, or Minnesota, L.A.?
Wow. If Jimmy Butler were healthy, I'd feel better about picking the Warriors to eventually beat the Rockets in that series. But now, Jimmy Butler's questionable for game three after that hard fall. So I don't know where to go with that one. Lakers, Wolves. I think I had picked the Lakers in seven in that one.
The confidence is waning right
now.
Yeah,
the tone of that confidence was not very high.
No, but you know what?
It's a great series.
That is what has been great about this postseason so far, and even going into it before a single game had been played, you looked at this, and especially in the West. The Grizzlies were the only team in the field that you thought, they're not doing anything. Everybody else you thought, I won't be surprised if they somehow end up in the conference finals. And that's the parity that Adam Silver has wanted. That's the parity that we now have. And a lot of these series could tip either way, very easily.
Yeah, it's a good point. The NBA's in a good spot in that regard, and no, repeat champions. We'll see if Boston upsets that trend, but what do we got? 5 straight years with a different champion. Your point on the Nuggets not being the next dynasty when they had just won one. Look, we got an NBA team out here. Sometimes people around the league forget that, but we still got one. They haven't been in the playoffs in a couple of years.
Does Howard forget sometimes?
Yeah, he might. It's okay. You can admit it if you forget it from time to time, but we're always curious when we get somebody who covers the league wide on, like, we have talked about it till we're blue in the face for the last couple of months of how they did not tank this year the way they had tanked in previous years when this draft is better than it had been in years past. They didn't bottom out. Now they have the 10th odds in the draft lottery, which is coming up here in a couple of weeks. I'm just curious your general NBA view of what Portland is doing and where they're at in the landscape of the league right now.
I have not forgotten about Portland. It's one of my favorite cities, and I actually have some family out there. I wish the Blazers were better because it would get me out there, on the company dime more often, and
right.
then I could see people. So get it together, Blazers.
Come on, Cronin.
It's tough. I mean, listen, I don't want to go too far back here, but, like, I thought they held on to Lillard and CJ as of pairing for too long. They should have pivoted sooner. I thought that they made the decision on whether to trade or build around Lillard after they'd already traded CJ. They held on to Lillard for too long. They kept staying on the fence. Like, are we tanking? No, we're not tanking. Are we going to trade these picks for Lillard help? No, we're going to keep the picks. Like, they just never picked a direction, and they finally had to trade Lillard, and now we know what the direction is. But once you do that belatedly, you get in this weird middle zone. I think it's to their credit. And certainly, you know, if you believe in the basketball gods and karma that, you know, that they played hard and they finished the season strong, that's great. But what you really need is high-level talent right now, and you kind of ruined your draft position. So it's a mixed bag, and they're still in some ways a little bit on the fence in that regard, but they've gotten some good young players, you know, and, you know, Scoot's making progress, and, you know, Tamani Kamara may make one of the all defensive teams and had a really nice season. You know, Sharp, Klingon, like there's good pieces. I don't know that you have the one guy who you can now say, this is our guy and we're going to build around him. I don't know that you have your new Damian Lillard yet. So that's the difficulty. And, you know, when you're not drafting high, which unless the lottery, you know, goes in their favor in a few weeks, then it's a tough road. And I love Portland, but like, it's not a place that players generally flock as free agents, or at least not the superstars. So you have to draft somebody or trade for somebody.
Yeah. Two parts here real quick. Did you vote for Tamani for all defensive team? I'm kind of curious because he's, you know, one of our bright spots from the season. And two teams we like to point to here in the media side, not we as a show, but other media members in the market, they love to point to Detroit and Houston and be like, well, they did what they did. Portland can do that. Do you think that's kind of fool's gold, though, to point to those two examples and say you can take that kind of leap in the next year or two?
So I was just looking it up while you were talking because I needed to double check to make sure. Yes, Tamani Kamara made my all-defensive second team.
There you go. Well done.
Well done, Ben. You know ball. You know ball.
I don't even need to go out of my way to pander. I literally looked at my ballot.
There we go.
Sorry, who were the two reference points?
Just Detroit and Houston, just bottom barrel teams that just took big leaps this year.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, you know, Houston's interesting because they still don't have, like, the one young guy who they're really built around, right? It's a little bit of everybody, and Amen Thompson may actually become that guy, but you thought it was going to be Jalen Green or Jabari Smith, and it's not. Detroit had Cade Cunningham. Like, they had the number one overall pick in a year where there was a really good player at the top, and, you know, Cade has taken some leaps, and, you know, Jalen Duren, and they brought in some vets like Tobias Harris and Tim Hardaway Jr. and Schroeder. But they had the young guys who were already, you could see the outline of where they were going. I mean, they don't even have Jaden Ivey right now. You know, like when he gets back, you know, obviously next season, they've got a lot of really good young talent. I don't know that Portland is quite in that position yet because I don't know that there's enough of the high-level young players. They've got some good young players. But I don't know that you've got, again, it goes back to, do you have the guy? Detroit has the guy. Houston, it's more of a collective there. And, you know, they brought in their vets too, right? When they brought in Van Vliet and Steven Adams. But they're doing it kind of differently. I think the reason that a lot of people were skeptical of the Rockets making a run despite their great regular season record was they don't have, as far as we can tell, the guy, at least not yet. And I think that's, again, you don't want to be too reductive, but it's just the NBA and superstars win, and Portland doesn't have one yet.
Yeah. Amen. Howard Beck. That's why he's great. Covering the NBA for a long time. Works at The Ringer. Go check out all his great work. TheRinger.com. Co-host The Real Ones podcast. Give him a follow on Blue Sky. He's one of our favorites.
NBA
Thanks,
legend.
As always, for the time, man. And keep enjoying the playoffs. And hopefully we can do this again soon.
Appreciate it, fellas. Thank you.